I have to believe that when things are bad, you can change them. I didn't always lose. I won't always lose again. The other day, I was doing a track workout and I came across a 68-year-old runner who just started up a conversation with me. I came to realize that he was actually an elite runner for his age group, had run several marathons under 2 hours and 50 minutes, and was an overall badass. He was reflecting on one of the marathons that he had ran, where he bonked at mile 20. Even though he was on pace to finish that at sub 2 hours and 40 minutes, he like almost blacked out at mile 20. But he said the following few days, he was just kind of depressed out of it, and then he was like going to the movies with one of his kids, and he was eating popcorn at the theater, and somehow the salt of that popcorn came into his brain, and suddenly he felt okay again. Turns out he was just dehydrated for several days in a row after the marathon, and it was making him depressed. Now, I reflect on this story because our minds will constantly interpret the situations of our life in ways that may be outside of our control, maybe even tied to our physiology. And at times, life can be seemingly fucked. What do you do when everything is fucked and you're trying to find hope? This video hopefully addresses that. The first idea here is that you have to find your gratitude. I used to be someone who really believed in the law of attraction and this idea of having a great vibration, a great state of being in which you approach your life's work, and as a result, you have more fortuitous circumstances. Then I gave that up because I came to realize that a hustle mindset got me better results than simply visualizing, hoping, and praying. But in my, I suppose, maturity, I've come to realize that a two-pronged attack, where you have both vibration and hustle, leads to the best results in life. And a lot of people who become very, very dedicated to the hustle, taking action, being bold, they forget this first half of the equation. In David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force, he talks about how there's various stages of basically emotional being. Your energy body, so to speak, communicates different vibratory messages. Shame, guilt, these are amongst the most low feelings you could have. And people who don't treat themselves well, they tend to have this intrinsic bodily shame almost, where they don't like themselves, they don't respect themselves, they don't admire themselves. And as a result, no action that they take has any horsepower. In 2020, that's what my life was like, where I was drinking a lot. As a result, my sexual discipline was not as strong as it should have been. And I was kind of engaging in a bunch of simpy behavior. I don't really like myself. And I think somehow, energetically, I was communicating this sense of not deserving good things for myself. Now, as I've sort of cleaned up my diet, I live largely sober. I've also come to realize that the highest state of being that you could embody is gratitude. If you can move yourself up those energy bodies and those vibratory fields to a much higher state of being where there's even a degree of bliss, the actions you take, the efforts that you engage in from that same place of hustle, they carry so much more horsepower. So it's safe to say that the same action taken by a guy who is full of gratitude and full of a sense of childlike wonder for the world, especially when things are tough, his actions carry so much more energy than the person who is sad. Now, I've actually had a lot of struggle with gratitude over the years because, for instance, if I tell myself, you know, I'm really grateful that I can drink this jug of water and hydrate, it's actually hard for me to feel inherently grateful about that because as I'm drinking the water and telling myself that I'm grateful for that water, I just start thinking about the kid in India or Africa who doesn't have easy access to fresh water and they have to work a lot harder for it and they're dehydrated. It just starts making me sad, actually. So the gratitude starts to feel inverse. The way around this is to start feeling gratitude for things that are your genuine competitive advantage in life. Like the things that you can acknowledge and enjoy about your experience that you can find yourself being genuinely grateful for. For instance, I am extremely grateful for my team. That's something I'm genuinely grateful for, and it's something that's inherently mine because it took me 3, 4, 5 years to build up this team around me who believes in me as a leader and as a friend. Every time I think about the people on my team, Axel, Vincent, Thomas, Manoj, I feel this sense of badassery. I feel as if, wow, I can really take over the world with these guys. And it really fills me with an immense gratitude. And anytime I have any doubt about my career or my future, I can reflect on these things that give me a genuine, it's actually happening to me right now in this video. As I reflect on these things that give me a genuine sense of gratitude, suddenly I feel as if the whole world is opening up to me. And you should do the same. If you're ever in a place of doubt or confusion, reflect on the things that could make you genuinely grateful. Principle number two, make a list as to why you should win. The most effective way to do this is actually to go back and look at what I call a victory log is. People who are chasing big dreams or they're in a period of struggle, we often forget how far we have come. Especially if you probably reflect on the last 5 years of your life, you've probably had many wins. On my commonplace book, which I house in Microsoft OneNote, I have a section, a notebook called Victory Log. And it's the one that I check the least amount. But if I'm ever in a place of doubt, this is the place in my commonplace book that makes me feel just so excited and empowered. I reflect basically on all the little wins I've had over the last 5-7 years. The first one that I ever logged in this victory logbook was actually on December 12, 2016. I set this goal of earning an additional $1,000 per month for a total monthly salary of $3,800. And I set that goal December 12, 2016. I achieved it by January 15th. Only just a month later, I basically 1.3x'd my income simply because I set it as an ambition. I just started tutoring every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday. I stopped drinking with the rest of the teachers on a Friday night and said I would try to go to sleep early. I would wake up at 7 a.m. the following Saturday morning and I would get out the door to go to these various schools to teach students how to succeed at the ACT and SAT. And I made an extra $1,000 that month from it. That success all the way back in 2017 makes me feel as if I can book a $1 million client this year. Anytime you reflect on what you were trying to achieve in the future and what you're struggling with now, if you recollect all those goals, all those tiny victories you've had over the years, you'll remember that at the time of setting those goals and pursuing them, you didn't know if you could do it or not. And you have had many victories. So if you don't have a victory log somewhere in a commonplace book, I would invite you to take a pause in this video and actually note down, what have my wins been over the last 5 to 7 years that I forgot about, I didn't really give myself credit for, especially in a period of struggle or malaise. We forget that we have changed our lot in life in the past. And if we've done it in the past, we can certainly do it again. Principle three, become immaculate. In her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, the author talks about how when people really make their spaces clean, immaculate, very, very tidy, strange things start to happen. Suddenly, that one client who had all this excess weight that she couldn't get rid of, it would fall off and she would get lean. Or if a business was struggling, once the office and the space and even the digital files, they all became very, very pristine, suddenly the phone would start ringing again. I've certainly noticed this. There are periods in my life where maybe my personal space, my car, my digital life, all my emails, they're messy. And as a result, things are moving kind of sluggishly. I'm not able to get things done as effectively as I want them to. Actually, 2 months ago, I was reflecting on my space and especially my work around cinematography. And I was reflecting, I have camera gear in different places, but I haven't thought about where things should be optimally so that I can pick up a camera easily and get good results. So what I resolved to do is to really clean up my space. I actually gave myself a score every day on how immaculate I think my life is. And then I gave myself all these rules. Okay, right now my immaculate score is a 50 out of 100. In order for it to be 100 out of 100, here's what would need to happen. And it caused me to move things around, reorganize my space, completely redo my garage even. And as a result, sounds strange to say, but suddenly the shots I started getting on camera, especially in terms of macro shots, product shots, top-down shots, it got so much better because suddenly this one gimbal that was out of the way that I hadn't used in a while, I knew what to do with it. And so I have all this energy and clarity around my space. And that came as a result of deciding to be more immaculate. Prioritize cleanliness, prioritize organization, and you will notice the results you start getting, just your potency with your actions improving dramatically. It's at this point that I want to take a brief pause to talk about the sponsor of today's video, which is Newtopia. One thing that's a struggle when working long hours or on mentally demanding projects is afternoon energy crashing in the afternoon. Sometimes it's hard to be focused, it's hard to stay on point when I'm in the thick of an edit, or especially in the afternoons when I'm working on a shoot. Or if I'm in a pitch meeting with a company or a brand, I sometimes have a hard time articulating my thoughts. And so this has actually been alleviated with the help of Newtopia. Newtopia is basically a nootropic supplement that can address different components if you're trying to be more creative or more focused. I started taking Newtopia and I felt a noticeable improvement in my ability to focus, remember things, a boost in my cognitive performance. And so I don't use it very often, but in those moments when I just need a little bit of a boost of cognitive performance, energy levels, mood, I'm able to incorporate Newtopia in my routine to articulate myself better or fall into deeper work. Newtopia has been developed by highly effective nootropics specifically designed to unlock your brain's maximum focus, concentration, and creativity. If you're not feeling like you're fully maximizing yourself and you're not fully immaculate in terms of your brain performance, you can check out Newtopia's formula. They're a total game changer, and use my code at checkout to save 10% off of your order. The next idea then is to move with speed and boldness. Gratitude, reflecting on previous wins, and having a perfectly tidy, perfectly clean mental and physical space makes it easy for you to just move with speed and boldness. This can come down to a variety of actions, and sometimes your intuition, your hunches, will tell you to do things that feel very scary. Sometimes it'll say, hey, I'm in a cafe right now and there's a person over there that I need to talk to, but I don't want to bother this person. Get up and do the thing. Do the thing that your empowered state, your aligned energetic source told you to do. Brian Tracy has written many books about accessing the superconscious mind or the subconscious mind. And this is like a place of intuition where you sort of get a little bit of access to a part of your brain that is the iceberg beneath. And so the best thing you do is to trust those hunches. I think there's no knowledge that is more deep than your intuition. So if you get a piece of intuition, you need to act on it. And if you do those things, it almost feels as if the universe, the world is like this really magical place. And so once everything is aligned, take action and move with speed and boldness. Even if those hunches and those intuitions and those actions you need to take, they scare you. The last idea then is to endure. Endure with grace and style. I've been watching a lot of Nick Bear's content lately, and he has this phrase that he's been repeating a lot lately. Endure the process. There is an aspect to unfucking your life that calls for endurance. Basically, to stay in the game even if it's hard. Things don't always change immediately. I think most people, just with the speed of life and the good fortune many of us have with access to the internet and the ability to learn new things and to do new things every day, most of us can genuinely change our life and get things back on track within 2 to 3 to 4 months. But for some people who are really in the thick of it, who are really in a dark place, it could be a struggle period of a year or 2 years. But if you work, things cannot stay the same forever. And so there is an aspect of things where if you inherently feel that you are doing the right things, you're working on the right things, maybe you just need to endure. Don't lose hope just because things might not be perfect right now. The universe must eventually respond to your new energy, your new efforts, your new will. If you're new to the channel, my name is Nikhil. This channel features video essays, cinematography efforts, and I suppose personal development videos for creatives, just like this video. If that appeals to you, consider subscribing to the channel. If you'd like to connect with me further, see more behind the scenes stuff on the skills I'm working on, how I make my videos, you can follow me on Instagram. I give like little tidbits on things I'm reflecting on, what I'm working on, the books I'm reading. Alongside that, I have a newsletter, which only has a posting come out once a week or every other week, which is very high quality. It has the best of the insights, the best of the books I've been reading over the last several weeks, and just a very deep breakdown on what I've been thinking about and how I am conducting my life in any given season. So you can find that in the description box. And one last note, I have a YouTube coaching mastermind. If you're a busy professional and you've been wanting to grow your own personal brand, both through short form content and long form videos like this one, it's very, very important to learn the rules of the game. The rules of the game of YouTube and building a personal brand. It's a skill set that is becoming so important for anyone who wants to grow in their own industry, to become an industry leader of some kind. And really, to reach your full potential in the 21st century, you must learn how to build a personal brand. So if you want to learn how to eventually grow to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, maybe averaging 20 to 50,000 views per video, and making videos that can still be integrated into your life so that you can still conduct a life around it. You can still work a day job. You can still live a life. Every cohort of this mastermind only has 10 people in it, and it's a very curated experience. I spend a lot of one-on-one time with everyone, and many of the people who have been in previous cohorts have seen great gains. They've had 300 subscribers coming into the program, but then had their first 100K view video, their first 50K view video, some even more than that. Some over the course of being in the program have grown over 100,000 subscribers simply by what we work on together and what we teach. So if you're at all curious about growing on YouTube, there's a link in the description box, which you can also check out. But with that being said, for those of us who operate from a state of gratitude, immaculateness, and operating with speed and boldness, to us I say, greatness is coming. Catch you next time.